Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY24 earnings conference call of Welspun Enterprises Limited, hosted by JM Financial. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ashish Shah from JM Financial. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Shah.
Yeah. Thank you, Michelle. On behalf of JM Financial Institutional Securities Limited, I invite everyone to the first quarter FY24 earnings conference call of Welspun Enterprises Limited. I'll hand over the line to Mr. Salil Bawa, Head Group Investor Relations at Welspun Group, to take the call forward. Thank you, sir. Over to you.
Thank you, Ashish. Good afternoon to all of you. On behalf of Welspun Enterprises Limited, I welcome all of you to the company's Q1 FY24 earnings call. Along with me today, I have with us Mr. Sandeep Garg, Managing Director of Welspun Enterprises Limited, Mr. Akhil Jindal, Group Chief Financial Officer and Head Strategy, Welspun World, and Mr. Lalit Jain, CFO, Welspun Enterprises Limited. We hope you have had a chance to review the investor presentation that we filed with the exchanges. It is also available on the company website. During the discussion, we may be making references to this presentation. Please do take a moment to review the safe harbor statement in our presentation. As usual, we will start the forum with the opening remarks by our leadership team, and then we'll open the floor for your questions. Once the call gets over, should you have any further queries that remain unanswered post the earnings call, please feel free to reach out to any one of us. With that, I would now like to hand over the floor to Mr. Sandeep Garg, Managing Director, Welspun Enterprises Limited. Over to you, Mr. Garg.
Thank you, Salil, and good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Welspun Enterprises Limited, I welcome you all to the Q1 FY 2024 results conference call. I'm happy to share that our performance in the first quarter of fiscal 2024 reflects the positive outcomes of our efforts and investments made over the past few years. Firstly, I want to mention a couple of achievements during the quarter by the company. Our Chikli-Tarsur Road project was awarded the Unique Highway Project of the Year by ASSOCHAM, presented by the Honorable Minister of Road and Transport and Highways, Shri Nitin Gadkari, in May 2023. In addition, we received an award for outstanding contribution in urban infrastructure water project for our Dewas Industrial Area water supply project in Madhya Pradesh, which we operate under the BOT model. This award was also presented by Shri Nitin Gadkari ji in July 2023. And one more additional milestone that I would want to share with you is about inauguration of our Mukarba Chowk Panipat project, which was inaugurated by Honorable Minister for Road, Transport and Highways, Shri Nitin Gadkari ji, in June 2023. This project has already received the PCOD in April 2023. One more major development of the quarter that I would want to share, or post the quarter, which happened, which I would want to share with you all, is that the board of Welspun Enterprises Limited authorized us to sign the share purchase agreement on July 27, 2023, to acquire 50.1% stake in Michigan Engineers Private Limited, or MEPL. Michigan is a technology-based EPC company involved in underground infrastructure, water infrastructure, and sewage infrastructure projects. This acquisition aligns with our strategy to grow the water infrastructure business segment and enter the tunneling business. This proposed acquisition complements with our existing water and road business. This proposed acquisition will enable us to undertake projects related to micro tunneling, segment tunneling, and sewer network rehabilitation. The equity value of 50.1% stake is approximately ₹137 crores. To give you an idea about MEPL, the revenue for the company for FY 2023 stood at approximately 319 crores with EBITDA of 69 crores and a PAT of 35 crores. Their unexecuted order book stood at 1,934 crores as of March 31st, 2023. We will discuss this proposed acquisition in detail post completion of the deal, which we anticipate to happen in next 3 to 4 weeks. Now, I would want to talk about the Q1 FY 2024 results. As I said, we have performed well, especially from the margin perspective. Our operating EBITDA for the quarter stands at 1,103.2 crores with an operating EBITDA margin of approximately 15.2%. Our reporting EBITDA margin stands at 18.6%. As a result, our profit after tax, PAT, has more than tripled to ₹89.6 crores compared to the previous year. During this quarter, we achieved a significant milestone, progress of 20% in the SNRP or Satanathapuram-Nagapattinam road project, which is being executed under HAM model. In past, we have faced some challenges on this project, but our efforts to overcome have started showing results. In July, we have signed a supplementary agreement with the authority for this project, which grants us 18-month extension for completion from the signing of that supplementary agreement, and hence the revised completion date for the project stands at January 2025, and we are on track for the revised completion schedule for the project. The other HAM projects, namely Anta Simaria road project, which involves 6 laning of 8 kilometers of NH-31, is progressing on track for early completion against the revised completion date of October 2024. I would want to mention that we still are awaiting clearance of a substantial value of change order, which is at an advanced stage of approval. Once this change of scope is approved by the authority, the project will move ahead at full speed. Our EPC work at Varanasi-Aurangabad NH2 road project is progressing well, and we are on track to meet our completion target dates. Coming to the water segment, our project in the state of UP under the State Water and Sanitation Mission is progressing well. Despite certain challenges on the overhead tank construction. Regarding our largest order win, the Dharavi Wastewater Treatment Facility as a part of Mumbai Sewerage Disposal Project, it is in the final stages of design approval and local clearances. We expect it to start in full-scale operations post-monsoon. Coming to the order book, we have a strong order book including O&M spread across water and road segments at roughly around 9,600 crores. We see promising road and water opportunities in state of Maharashtra. We also see the opportunities in road in NHAI, and we aim to secure additional orders worth 6,000 to 8,000 crores both in road and water sector put together in the current financial year. We are optimistic about our growth strategy, growth trajectory, and confident in capitalizing on the government's ongoing focus on improving and developing the country's infrastructure sector. Coming to the oil and gas, we continued during the quarter with our effort for development and production of the oil and gas field blocks housed in the joint venture called Adani Wellspun Exploration Limited. However, due to large scale changes in the management in the regulatory authority, the expected approval of our Block B9 field development plan is yet not received. The approval of FDP of B9 is now in advanced stages. Post the approval of FDP of B9, we shall be submitting our FDP for Block MBOSN 2005/2, or what we call Mumbai Block. In line with our prudent approach, we will commit future capital only upon clearance of the field development plan, which gives us the visibility of the commercial viability. Talking about Wellspun New Energy, to evaluate this space, we have strengthened the team with the inclusion of Mr. Prashant Jain as CFO. As mentioned earlier, we continue to work with consultants to advise us based on various state schemes as to which state is best suited for these kinds of solutions and the business model to follow. Once that is clear in our internal approval process, we would be very happy to share the details with you. Right now, we are in the process of only committing to the extent of initial development and investments if required, which we do not believe shall exceed anything more than 50 crores at this stage. With this, I will now hand over the call to Mr. Akhil Jindal, Head Group Strategy and Group CFO, Wellspun World. Thank you again for joining us today. Over to you, Akhil.
Yeah, thank you, Sandeep. I just want to touch upon the brief numbers, the declaration that we did yesterday. I'm sure some of you have a chance to go through it, but for the sake of every other participant, we are just repeating some of the numbers that we shared yesterday. So our total standalone revenue from operations have grown to 680.7 crores in this quarter. And with the other income being included, it has gone up to 709.5 crores. This has been a remarkable growth on a quarter-to-quarter comparison from the last year. We have also reported EBITDA of 103.2 crores. With other income, it jumps to 132 crores. Now, this 132 crores reflects the EBITDA margin of 18.6 and the operating EBITDA margin of 15.2%. This EBITDA as a percentage of margin is higher than our guided number of 10 to 12% due to recovery of past costs from our subcontractors. As you may recollect in our previous calls also, we have mentioned that we have a practice in our EPC business to provide for the cost on behalf of subcontractors and later adjust / recover the cost at settlement in final bill payment as a case may be. Thus, we are able to keep the EBITDA absolutely in check, and also we reiterate that our aim to achieve 10 to 12% EBITDA margin on a holistic basis is a certain standard business practice that we are likely to adopt going forward as well. You might have noticed that our finance cost has also dropped significantly. It has been due to our repayment of our NCDs of almost 290 crores in this quarter. And we are not likely to borrow any money at our holdco level. So to that extent, the interest component in our financial numbers will remain a very low figure going forward also, just as small financial expenses. The corresponding PAT also has gone up remarkably to 89.6 crore. And, we continue to believe that the company will show good progress on this front as well. Now, turning to our consolidated number, the earlier commentary was on the standalone. Now I'm just sharing few numbers on the consolidated basis as well. The total income stands at 750 crores with a reported EBITDA of 156.7 crores and a consolidated PAT of 92.8 crores. The difference between standalone and consolidated is more about the interest accounting, largely rather than any cash flow implications, where in the interest we have to also charge and provide for the interest that we would have we would have otherwise got from the investment in our subsidiaries. That is the only large impact between the standalone and consolidated, and it is a non-cash in nature. So for all practical purposes, our standalone numbers are a good reflection for our entire company's performance. I just want to share some key numbers on the balance sheet side as well. As on 30th June 23, firstly, our cash position is showing a healthy balance of 1058 crores. This is down by around 780 odd crores from the previous quarter, because we have made the NCD payments of 292 crores. We have made a buyback payment of around 289 crores, which includes the tax component. And also we have funded our equity in our HAM and oil and gas of around 54 crores. Besides this, we have also done our trust funding, which is an employee trust, which we have created for 30 odd crores. The remaining 117 crores after accounting for profit in this quarter has been used for working capital funding during this quarter. The working capital has stretched a little bit in this quarter because there are some marginal delays in collection, as one of our client has changed its billing system. One of the client has changed the billing system from manual to being online, and that has enabled them to process it faster in future. But somehow in between, the system got a little little jammed, and that's the reason why there has been some delay in the payment being collected by us. However, we understand that the same is now streamlined, and we believe all this money is likely to flow through the system very quickly. We also want to share the further commitment that we are left with in our various businesses, which stands at 450 odd crores. This includes our investment in the HAM projects. It includes our investment in oil and gas. It includes our state buyout in Michigan engineering, what Sandeep just mentioned in the beginning, and also towards our new energy business of 50 crores. And after accounting for that also, we would be left with a healthy cash balance of around 600 crores for pursuing the future growth opportunities. We continue to be on the asset-light model, and we want to improve our return on equity and return on capital employed, you know, as we go forward. You may recollect that our margins are into two buckets. One is the EPC margin that we report between 10%-12%, as I mentioned earlier, and also the margin or the capital gains that we got on our asset sale, as and when those assets are ready. So we will keep on exploring the monetization possibilities of various assets, including, you know, the HAM assets that as and when they get complete. Our oil and gas portfolio is, of course, you know, Sandeep mentioned that is, with the discovery of commercial gas, and with the things that we are doing with DGH, we are in a very advanced stage. And also in various means and manner, the monetization will remain a top priority for the company. I think with this, we can open the floor for question and answers. Thank you very much for joining us on this call.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. You may press star and one to ask a question. We have the first question from the line of Ritesh Gandhi from Discovery Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir, and congratulations on super execution. I just wanted to understand with regards to our, you know, water projects which we are doing, how is the competitive intensity which we're seeing in the tenders out there? Who do we typically go up against? And I just wanted to understand in terms of our competitive advantage to, I mean, be able to earn attractive rate of, you know, returns in these projects.
So, coming to the Dharavi project, which is the largest project in the water, the competitive intensity was pretty low because of the complexities. There were only two other bidders other than us on the project. In terms of UP-JJM project, there were multiple bidders because the canvas was very large, and it was not supposed to be awarded to the lowest bidder, but all bidders who had envisaged interest in a particular territory were supposed to be awarded based on their preferences and the closeness to the L1 bid, which provided they matched the L1 bid. So we haven't seen a very intense competitive environment on the projects that we have won at till date. In terms of your question that what is the competitive intensity in the water segment, that the competitive intensity changes with respect to the value of the contract, and anything above 2,000 crores is not a very intensely competitive space. The bidders are more like three to five bidders for a particular project, and that is the target area for us, preferred target area for us.
Good. So that's helpful. So, and with regards to this acquisition, you know, we see we've got 51% stake, and then we have, I think, Patel Engineering and one of our public market holders, which we can see is also there. Just wanted to understand, how did we think about the partnership and, you know, is it ultimately gonna be a part to 100% control, or is it just the technology we're looking at, or how should we look at that?
So it is, it becomes a subsidiary with the acquisition of 50.1%. Future, there are routes available for everything, right up to 100% acquisition to alternate means of exits to the other partners. So we will cross the bridge when we come across it. However, the current intent is to create them as a technology leading solution provider,
and help them grow to extent which with our muscle power they can grow, which is why this proposed acquisition creates immense value for both sides.
And the technology aspect of it is in terms of what exactly is the technology that's...
As you may be aware, we are not in tunneling. They are into tunneling, both micro and segmental tunneling, which allows us to, get in our foot into the tunneling market, which is going to be the, we believe, a very big growth driver in the urban India. And there is a lot of... And it's a very value accretive business, and they have been leaders in multiple firsts within the country, including the laying of the HDPE sewer lines in Mumbai of 500 mm, first company to use slurry micro tunneling in India. So they have always been on the cutting edge. And that's what we want to, enlarge their ability to reach within the country. They're primarily more focused on very limited geographies within the India itself. So we believe that with this association, both companies can grow.
Got it, sir. That's great to hear. Sir, and the last question is with regards to our renewable piece, is the aspiration to get into... actually EPC on the renewable side or actually own renewable assets? Because I know we earlier did own some renewable assets. How are we thinking about the area and the value chain of renewables we're looking to be in?
So we are looking at the whole value chain as we speak. We are not sure which of the portions of the value chain are we going to play. We have consultants and the team in place now for them to advise what's right for us to do. And once we know what's right for us to do, we will try to do the right things and be happy to share with you our thoughts on that particular area.
Well, thank you so much, sir. I really appreciate it and all that.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Ankit from GHP Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Please proceed.
Yeah. Actually, I'm tracking this company for the first time. So my question would be, what is the vision? What is the vision for the next 2 or 3 years in terms of revenue mix, profitability?
So... The guidance for this financial year is that we should be having an average run rate of about 300 crores per month, which means translates to an annualized revenue of about 3,600 crores. Our EBITDA margins, as Akhil mentioned clearly, our guidance remains anything between 10 to 12%. Our guidance going forward there beyond, which is a forward-looking statement, I would not say it is a guidance. I would say it is our target would be to have a growth of anything between 15 to 20% there beyond.
Okay. Thank you. Second question, you just spoke about the asset-light model a few minutes back. So can you just elaborate on that?
So the asset-light model for us means two things. We do not do our own construction, so we are not invested very heavily into construction equipment and hence have very low depreciation. So our depreciation, our EBITDA converts into PBT practically with very low loss because there is very little depreciation and practically very low interest costs as well. Secondly, our asset light model, which means is that if we create assets, which we are a developer as well, our intent is to churn them around as soon as we can make a large enough portfolio, and we would not just hold them to the end of the maturity or end of the maturity period.
Okay. Thank you so much. I will come back in queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one now. We'll take the next question from the line of Sagar Tanna from Alchemy Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Within the water opportunity, what all segments are we seeing and how large those opportunities would be?
So we are currently, our skill sets and our experience allows us to play three areas of water vertical. One is the transmissions and distribution. Second is the treatment section. And the third area that we can play is the, or I would distribute the transmission separately and a distribution separately, the bulk transmission area. So these are the three areas that we can play. That's what our current focus line is. When we say treatment, we are currently focused more on sewerage and water treatments rather than desalin, etc. in that area.
But how large these opportunities would be, the three buckets that we have identified?
So as we speak, our next 2 years top of the canvas, and we are limiting ourselves to certain states. We don't go into certain areas where we do not have the ability right now to control the outcomes and the ability to execute efficiently, is somewhere around 1.2 lakh crores is the top of the canvas that we have identified for the coming 2 years.
Sir, if you can just give this breakup of this 1.2 lakh crores between the three buckets, a ballpark number would also be okay.
So, both the transmissions and distribution put together would be around 70 odd thousand crores, and the balance would be the treatment plants.
So, sir, when we say transmission and distribution, it would largely be working with local municipalities. Is my understanding correct?
Not necessarily. These are irrigation projects. This could be funded by a lot many authorities. So, you are right that it will be more state than center, but these are supported by center as well.
Got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jinesh Kothari from HDFC Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible now?
Mr. Kothari, may we request you to use your handset, please?
Sure. Am I audible now?
Yes, sir. Please proceed.
Yeah. So, hi. I had a couple of questions with regards to our bidding pipeline. So, we haven't been received significant orders since few quarters. So how are we looking forward to fill up our order book, keep our order book intact going forward, and what kind of opportunities are we looking at, given the fact that the awarding has been very slow from the ministry for roads and HAM projects?
So the recent awards from the ministry and the associate authorities have been low, so we are looking at certain states where we have some past experiences. We have identified some 50,000 crores worth of projects in the state of Maharashtra, where we have applied for pre-qualification, and we believe we will be pre-qualified, so we are likely to bid for those projects, the results of which should be out by Q3 of this year. Similarly, on the water side, we have identified projects, as I said, in the next 2 years of about 1.2 lakh crores. So we believe we have enough pipeline of orders, and most of these orders will get fructify in Q3 or Q4.
And so what is the conversion ratio we are looking at from our bid pipeline that we are bidded for?
So we have our own appetite of taking the orders, and as I said we are targeting anything between 6,000 and 8,000 crores for this financial year. Our conversion, because we are a very aim and shoot kind of bidders, so our conversions are practically anything between 3 bids. If we put in, we expect to get one.
Right, sir. Sir, and on the margin front, I've been looking that our margins have been improved in the last quarter. So, last time when we have interacted, so we discussed that we had contracts with the subcontractors and we subcontract most of our construction projects. So we don't, we just source out the raw material. So is it the thing that we are negotiating the pricing levels with our subcontractors or such like that, which have improved our margins significantly?
No, we don't renegotiate our contracts. However, as a prudent company and a prudent accounting, we incur all the costs foreign on behalf of the project for project to be completed, and there can be scenarios wherein certain costs are recoverable from the contractor, and if we are able to come to an amicable settlement, we recognize those recoveries in the later period, but the costs are accounted for in the same period as they are incurred. So there can be slight variation in our average or quarter-on-quarter reporting of the EBITDA.
Fine, sir. So the quarter-on-quarter EBITDA may differ, but on the yearly basis, the number would be you guided like 11-12%.
Yeah, that is what it would be.
Sure. That would be helpful. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask questions, you may press star and one. We'll take the next question from the line of Shubhankar Ojha from SKS Capital and Research Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So, quick questions. One, with respect to this 15 to 20% growth, is that a guidance for this FY24, or are you saying that can happen on a sustainable basis over the next few years?
So for the guidance, I would not say guidance. I would say the target for the financial year FY24, we are targeting a run rate of 300 crores per month, which converts into about target of 3,600 crores for FY2024. That's our target. And our target growth there beyond will be anything between 15 to 20% after FY24. And that's our internal target for FY25 and beyond.
Great. And so secondly, with respect to this acquisition that they have announced, 50% stake of Michigan engineers. So if I got the numbers correct, you said 65 crores of EBITDA and 35 crores of PAT for FY23. Is that correct?
That is correct.
No, sir, 69 crores of EBITDA.
And 35 crores of PAT,
I think that's a right number.
So which means it has got a higher margin compared to what we are doing in terms of our average margin.
That's right. It is a very specialized engineering company, as Sandeep mentioned, very, very technically oriented. And naturally, their margins are higher than the industry averages.
Great. And if I have it correctly, so you have a 1,900 crores of order book in that business. Can you talk more about the opportunity in terms of what sort of target you have in your mind in terms of obviously your assessment, how big the opportunity could be for this, and what are your thoughts on acquiring 100% stake in that entity?
So let me take this. We would talk about it once we are in the driving seat. Right now it is a proposed acquisition. Once we have done the complete interaction with the existing team and seen our complete strength and the way we can build the organization, will we want to share the details going forward? I would request you to wait till the deal is finally closed, and we are in the driving seat for us to appraise you more about Michigan.
All right, sure, sure. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one now. We'll take the next question from the line of Vaibhav Shah from JM Financial Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Sir, so out of our water backlog of around 6,000 crores, what would be the share of JJM?
About 2,000 odd crores. So the UPJJM is around 2,000 crores.
Okay. And sir, in this JJM project, do we have a price variation clause? And are we facing any challenges in terms of sourcing the materials?
Can you repeat the question, please?
So do we have a price variation clause in this water project? And are we facing any challenges in sourcing of materials?
So coming to UPJJ, we do have a price variation clause with respect to the main element, that is the SGP pipe, which is substantive cost there. In terms of the Dharavi, we do have a price variation clause based on the WPI and CPI. There's a formula given in the contract which allows us for the escalation. We haven't seen any challenge as of now in sourcing any materials for the projects.
Okay. And sir, in the water space, particularly in JJM, where are we seeing the upcoming opportunities in terms of states?
See, all states are coming up with similar projects, but we, because of our size expectation, we have very limited places where we would want to participate, so we do not follow this market so much until they cross a particular threshold. So I would want to pass this question, because this is only of interest for us beyond a particular value, which is a very limited play.
Okay. And sir, in terms of highways, so we have seen that there is a huge pipeline from the NHAI side, but the awarding has been quite weak in the first quarter, in the first 4 months of this year. So any view on that side? Why is the delay in awarding from NHAI side?
So I think there are, I'm sure they have awarded a lot of contracts between the February to March period of the FY23. So there is it's a normal thing that the H1 is a bit slower than H2. I expect the awarding to pick up in H2 at NHAI level. However, the states are pretty aggressive in the awards of road. I think more work will come this year from the states than it will come possibly from the NHAI.
Okay, thank you, sir. Those were my questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one now. We'll take the next question from the line of Sarvesh Gupta from Maximal Capital. Please go ahead. Mr. Gupta, we have unmuted your line. Kindly proceed with your question. As the current participant is not answering, we'll move on to the next question, which is from the line of Darshan Chandra from Om Investment. Please go ahead. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Ashish Shah for closing comments. Over to you, Mr. Shah.
Yeah, thanks, Michelle. So on behalf of JM Financial, I'd like to thank all the participants for being on the call. A special thank you to the management also for letting us host this call. And over to you, management, if there is any closing comments that you have.
Thank you everyone for joining us on this Q1 FY 2024 investment call. We are as a team available to anybody who we have not answered the question, please feel free to reach out to our IR team, Mr. Siddharth and Mr. Salil, the details of which are available on the website, for any questions that you may have. And thank you for being associated with Welspun. We look forward to talking to you soon. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of GM Financial, that concludes this conference. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.